Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Paint Me to Paint Me show. I am the Reverend Edward Paint Me. I tell you, we had a glorious time. And I want to give a shout out to Emma Kennard from Fresh Start Garden. She held an event yesterday at my church, and we appreciation for the one and only Reverend Edward Pinkney, and kudos go out to her. She have matter of fact, she is one in a million. That is one woman who deserves better than what this community have given her. Black people have a history of trying to find fault in people rather than give it up for them. But I'm going to give it up for Emma Kennard. She's a tremendous person. We love her. And she stands for what is right. And that's another thing that black people don't like. They don't like people who stand for what's right. They like people who love white folks. That's what they do. They love white folks. They believe white folks. White folks in their eyesight cannot lie. And they're the lyingest people there is in the world. But yet and still, black people have a tendency to believe whatever they say, knowing that what they're saying is not the truth. And this goes on and on and on and on. And then we cry, what the white devil is doing to us. Yet still, we try to please him or her or whatever it might be. This is our history, and this is why we're in this compromising position today. And remember this, a corrupt system thrives on lies, and a corrupt system also thrives on violence, you know, against people that they can do it to get away with. And you never have to worry about these people telling the truth because they don't know what the truth is. You know, anytime you beg another man to set you free, you would never be free. Freedom is something that you have to do for yourself. You have to take it. If you don't take it, you won't get it. And that's the truth. You know, as a people that has been traumatized for over 450 years, over 450 years of abuse, mistreatment, torture, hanging, raping, continually raping our women and men. The men didn't get a free pass either. They raped them too. And that's the truth. You see, you don't hear a lot about it, but they was raping men too. They wasn't just raping the women. They was raping the men also, which is unfortunate. And I think that we have to learn from this stuff, but we have not learned. We're still trying to be like them and also believe what they be saying. And we know they're not telling the truth. And here's something. We've been fighting for reparations all this time. Can you imagine what reparation would do for the black community? It probably would stop all the drug dealing. It probably would stop most of the killing. Reparation is something valuable and big, usually, but they know the weapon of reparation. That's why we're never going to get it, because it would also level the playing field. Do you really want these evil, wicked people? I mean, do these evil, wicked people think we think that they're going to level the playing field? Not even for 1 second. That is not going to happen. That's not going to happen. They're not going to let see, reparations will level the playing field. You see, that's generational wealth. You see, that's something we could build on. And, you know, I'm fighting for it, tooth, nail, hammer, chisel, whatever it takes. I'm fighting for it. I'm with it. But I just don't believe that these white devils will ever do it. It's too much like right. That'll never happen, you see. All the people, you know, our own Black Holocaust, more than 15 million people were sold in this grave. Over 35 million were killed by slave traders. make it the greatest Holocaust in the history of mankind. And yet we sit back and allow these people to do the same. They got the same system. And they had the system for over 250 years in place. Fortunately, what we do, you know, we're controlled by 545 people. That's 330 million controlling 545. If that makes sense to you, you know, let me know. That doesn't make any sense to me. And 90% is white. White folks have no history of wanting to take care of anybody but themselves. And we got to remember our history. It was written by those who hung us. They hung our heroes. Given this fact, it's therefore foolish to believe that the history taught today is true. It can't be. But I want people to love life enough to struggle for progress. Every child's future depends on it. And here's something that's important that we need to do. We have to stop. We got to move self out the way. It's not about a Reverend Pink. It's not about a minister, a Shea. It's not about all these people. It's about the future of our children. That's where we are dropping the ball. We're in a crisis right now. And it was created by the evil empire. Everywhere you go, they want the whole world to think are the worst people on earth. That's what they want. They want everybody to think that black people are the worst people on earth. We're doing a lot, I got to tell you that. These drive-by shootings, that's a cowardly act. And we should call it a cowardly act. It's a coward. When did we start shooting 6 and 7 and 8 year old kids? Little babies in a stroller. When did we start doing that? And nobody says nothing. Talking about street code. Yeah, there is a street code. Send that sucker to prison. Let him go press some license plates. And I don't condone nobody going to prison. But anybody who do a drive-by shooting is a coward, and he should be in prison. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. If you do a drive-by shooting, your butt needs to go to jail, and you need to go tell people trying to come up with some kind of street code. Boy, what kind of street code this guy around here shooting up folks? Unbelievable. I mean, it's nothing but a cowardly act. That's what it is. And that's what we should call it. If somebody going to be bragging about doing a drive-by shooting, you say, well, you're a coward. I remember when I was in prison, and these four guys, they had killed somebody. And they would get up at night and be bragging about how many people they had killed. And this one particular night, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I said, you guys, y'all have killed a lot of people. I said, but did any one of them have a gun? Anyone? Oh, it blew their wig off. They could not. I said, well, to me, that makes you a coward. You have to kill the guy. You have to kill him. He didn't have a gun. You're trying to rob him, and you got to kill him too. That makes you a coward, a straight-up coward. That's what, you have to do to these people. You have to tell them who they are. And don't let them get away with this stuff. If you're a coward, you're a coward, you see. And, if you're a coward, just admit, I'm a coward. That's all you have to say. You know, and people have a tendency to try to build themselves up to be something that they're not. See, everything that is faced, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. Nothing. I don't care what it is. I love this city of Benton Harbor. But it's unfortunate. The city of Benton Harbor elected official is honored to serve white people and only white people. They want the guests, only white businesses, owners. See, we seek to offer that effective, efficiency, and supportive service, but to white folks only. Black people love white folks. And I can't, all the evil and wickedness they have done, you still walk around here talking about how much you love white folks. All I ever hear. Maybe, so-and-so took me to dinner. Like, that's some kind of big deal. Take yourself to dinner. Go get a job. You know, go get a career. Take yourself together. You don't need white folks to do nothing for you. You know, we went out and got $33.2 million. They couldn't give it to an organization. They had to give it to a city entity. The city entity received the money that we got for them, $33.2 million. They turned it over to some white folks. White folks turned it over to other white folks. And they had the nerve to be bragging about this. What kind of mess is that? What's wrong with us? We got issues. If you got an issue, admit that somebody know who what to do. You see, we got this guy, Ellis Mitchell, 84 years old as a city manager. He can't even stay woke. He can't stay woke. And he's making big bucks, top dollars. These people are so stupid, but they're getting their marching orders from Whirlpool Corporation, Cornerstone Alliance, and Edamon. They tell the nine black folks what to do. And they keep all their money. And nobody say a mumbling word. This is the world we live in. How can we get better if we keep doing the same thing over and over and over again? Unbelievable. I'm going to hit on this before I get to what I really want to talk about today. We have a pastor here. His name is Carlton Lynch. He has sexually attacked many, many women. Unfortunately, some of them won't come forward because they're embarrassed. And if I were there, I'd probably be embarrassed too, because it's some of the stupidest stuff you ever heard. Now, the pastor of the church, now this girl got a boyfriend. He goes to her because she's a member of the church and asks her, a grown woman, to sit at his house while he go out of town, like he's going out of town. He doubled back later on that night, catch her sleep, and she wake up and he's all over her. She didn't want to tell nobody. Her boyfriend, who she later married, didn't want nobody to know. But she's not the first person he did this way. At least 10 to 20 women of that church he have done that way. But who is stupid enough to house sit for a grown man? Who? If that's not the stupidest thing I ever heard, you see, well, some say, well, I can't say she deserved to be raped. I can't say that, you see. But that's one of the stupidest things I have ever heard in my whole life. I have never heard nothing that stupid. A grown woman house-sitting for a man who lived by himself in a decent protected building and want him to come, and he double back and rapes her, and she don't want to tell nobody. The police asked her about it. Her husband knocked on it. We don't want to blow it up. Yeah, you don't want to blow it because it didn't happen to you. He raped her, And she's not the only one. Black people, stop it. Stop all this nonsense y'all doing. And then stop crying about so-and-so. We got sexual predators all over this neighborhood. Nobody want to do nothing, especially the women. And they're the one who normally fights. So let me say this also. I want to announce that the boycott of the radio station 105.3 is a great success. It's my understanding. I don't know how true or false this is. They say he has now, Ron Singel, the commissioner Ron Singel, have taken the radio station from the building, same building that Lynch, the one who raped these women, live in, and moved it to his basement. So we're closing in on them. You're doing a great job by not listening. Hashtag nobody listening, 105.3. That's where we're going with this. And we are driving them. It shows you what we can do if we work together. I stick my neck out for you people, and you people normally let my neck be cut off, you see. But I have learned not to worry about you guys, not to ask anything from you. If I don't ask nothing from you, we're going to be successful. So that's the beauty of this thing. And then last but not least, the final day to vote for the Sambo of the Year was Tuesday, November the 8th. And I tell you, we had quite a turnout. This is historical. I mean, I would never thought in a million years that people would take the time out to send me an email and vote on the Sambo of the Year. And let me give you the definition of a Sambo. A Sambo is someone who's a sellout, straight-up sellout, but on steroids. He's like supersized, like going to McDonald's, supersized that. You know, give me the triple double. That's what when we call a sellout, what we're basically saying, he has upgraded himself to a Sambo, and nobody want to be around a Sambo. And the Sambo of the Year, voting is now over. I know there's been some votes coming in even afterward, but unfortunately we can't count them because we did have a deadline. And let me say this. The top voter, well, let me give you the other votes. Ron Singleton, Commissioner Ron Singleton, who stole 105.3 from the community and from our children. He went out and got some folks out of Muskegon to be on the board. He had nobody gave him that authority to do so. He went and done it. The radio station license was in Charles Kelly's name, his wife Teresa Kelly. But what he did, he called himself being slick and clever. But black people, they don't get it. You see, I went to school with him. I know him. I live down the street from him. And they think that's big stuff. So that gives them the authority to go and do something evil and wicked. You see, and you accept it. So you're just as guilty as he is. You say that you know him, you went to school with him. You just as guilty, you're accomplished in this, in the stealing of the radio station. And then he got 462 votes. 462 votes. Wow. And then let me talk about Chief McGinnis. I know y'all, he never was in the lead. I'm going to start from the bottom up rather than because Ron is up at the top a little bit. But Chief McGinnis got 10,407 votes. He's followed by Judge Mayfield, the baby snatcher. Like, McGinnis is the chief of police here. If you call the police here, if you call 911 here, you got almost a 90% chance of the police never showing up. 90%. 98% of the police officers are white in a community where 90% of the people that live in the building are black, or live in the community is black. So not only is he stealing money from the community, you know, he also risking your life. So In other words, they're telling you it don't make sense to call the police here. And that's Chief McGinn. He didn't win the Sambo of the Year award. Unfortunately, he surely deserved it, but he had some tough competition. Let me move on to Judge Mayfield. Judge Mayfield, she's a baby snatcher. She's a black judge. What she do, she go out, she snatch these babies. See, that is one of the biggest money-making schemes in the whole country, and it's all over the country. They take the baby from the mama, give it to someone else. They eventually molest the children, and everybody get paid. The judges get paid. The prosecutors get paid. Everybody get money behind this. Everybody. And this judge been doing it for years, snatching black babies. And she received a total of 10,415 votes. It's a lot of votes. They did good, but she wasn't the top vote getter. She wasn't the top vote getter. 10,415. Then we go on to my letter seats. And like I said, this is the first time in the history a mother and a son has ever been nominated for the Sambo of the Year Award. I have checked with some of the people who also has this honor, like in Detroit. It started in Detroit. They was the first one to give out the Sambo of the Year Award. That was Detroit, Michigan. And what I did, I got permission to utilize the Sambo of the Year Award, and then people have been calling me trying to set up the Sambo of the Year Award for their community. Every single community should have the Sambo of the Year Award. Every community. There's not a community we should not have. We got to stop these black sellouts. We got to stop these black Sambos because it's been detrimental to our children, you see. We allow them to get away. Materialistic things is what they're striving for. And they will sell their mom out to please these white devils. And then let me go on my letter, guys. 10,425 votes. 10,425 votes. 10,000 votes. Can you see that? 10,000? Wow. Then we go to her son. A son got 10,000, check this out, 10,448. So you would figure those two would be close when it comes to the voting. I really was encouraging people to Commissioner Seats, straight up sellout, steroids, Sambo of the Year. Walk around here with blood all over his hands, hands dripping with blood. Dripping, drunk, everything you think of, this guy is, you know, and then have the nerve to call himself a preacher. There's nothing worse in the whole wide world than a sellout preacher. No, because first of all, you're a man of God. God come first, not man. God come first, and you have failed this community. You have failed God and everybody else. Anyway, he has 10,448 votes. So he's not in first place. He didn't win either. Then let's go back to Ron Singleton, who also the one who stole the radio station. Also, he used to be a police officer, and he retired. When he was a sergeant, not a corporal, I don't know what he was, but he was tight with the chief of police, and they boosted his pay up to lieutenant pay. So for the last 10 years, he's been stealing money from the city of Benton Harbor. They raided the police officer pension fund, him and this guy named Walker. They raided it. They raided the fund. Then they got caught, and they made a note to pay the money back. Walker ran, got out of town. Singleton retired, and they made sure that he got lieutenant pay, even though he did not qualify for lieutenant pay for the last 10 years. So he'd been really stealing money doubly from the community. That's Ron Singleton. And last but not least, the mayor himself. This is the year that he boomed and ballooned to the top. He 10,475. Oh, let me. Singleton got 10,000. He got 10,466 for Singleton, and Marcus is the Sambo of the year. Let's give him a big hand. He deserves it. A big hand. He's the biggest sellout that you would ever met. Even Minister Louis Farrakhan have set him down. I don't believe that he wants to have anything to do with this guy. A straight-up sellout. Didn't care how many people died from that water in this community. Tried to throw a rock and hide his hand. Failed to do anything. He is now the Sambo of the year for the year 2022. And he deserves a big hand. Let's give this man a hand. He deserves it. The Sambo of the year. Marcus Muhammad is the Sambo of the year. And he deserves every single minute of it. That's what I'm talking about. And we're not going to allow him to go unnoticed. We're going to make sure that by him qualifying for the Sambo of the year, that it'll be broadcast all over. Go to your Facebook page and put down Marcus Muhammad. The Nation of Islam is now the Sambo of the year. He's the Sambo of the year. Wow. And he won. I thought that Ron Singleton would get it because he stole that radio station, and he's stealing money as the lieutenant, getting lieutenant pay, and he should not be getting lieutenant pay. I thought that, you know, that would, but it's only a 10 votes difference. If 11 people would have voted for Ron, he would have been the Sambo of the year. But I got to move on. The Sambo of the year voting is over. Marcus Muhammad is now the Sambo of the year. So let's give him another hand. He deserves it. Another hand for the Sambo of the year. And on that note, I'll bring in my good friend from Columbus, Ohio, the one and only Minister O'Shea. Minister O'Shea, talk to me. Tell me what's going on in your neck of the woods, because I know that you always got something to say, and let's take it from there. Talk to me, Minister O'Shea.
Yes, sir, Reverend Pinckney. So glad to be with you again on this Sunday evening program. We have a few Sambos here that could use some Sambo of the Year awards.
Absolutely. They're all over the country, you know. And then we have the nerves to accept them like they somebody. That's the part that gets me. I mean, if I was a barber, you came to my barber shop, and I know that you're destroying the future of my children, you couldn't get no haircut. If I was grocery store, you come in my grocery, I wouldn't sell you no food. I wouldn't, no gas, no nothing. You see, that's how we have to deal with people. These people are evil and wicked. But look, that's enough for me. Let's go by what you want to talk about.
Well, basically, brother, you know, we got a lot of Sambos of the year that play professional basketball and professional football and announcers on TV. I was recently looking at the Kyrie Irving incident. And brother Kyrie Irving, he watched a old movie that's called From Hebrews to Negroes. And I've seen it before, and it's a real good documentary, but it's not as harsh as it could have been. Hebrews to Negroes. You can Google it. Anyway, the untouchable people, as we refer to the 1%, some of the richest bank owners, the untouchables, you can't touch them. They put the Anti-Defamation League on Brother Kyrie and wanted him to apologize for tweeting the fact that he thought that the video and the book was a good book. He didn't put no caption by it or not. He just posted it on his page. He didn't say nothing about it. And they jumped on him with both feet. Now, Kyrie Irving played for the Brooklyn Nets. Used to be called the New Jersey Nets. Now they're the Brooklyn Nets. And he plays with Kevin Durant and a bunch of other guys. But all he did was post the name of the video in the book, From Hebrews to Negroes. How do we say in Hebrews and descendants of Father Abraham and turn into Negroes, the people that just didn't have any name, no language, no culture, no history, you know, just descendants of slaves. So they took and suspended him from the NBA for 6 games. Suspended him, Reverend Pinckney.
Mm-hmm.
And then they told him that he had to apologize, take responsibility. So he did that. He took responsibility, got on there, and then they said, that's not enough. Now you got to say you're sorry. So then he said, I'm sorry. And then that wasn't enough. Then they want to send him to the anti, wanting to pay some money. So he paid $500,000, $500,000, to the Anti-Defamation League, a Jewish organization. Now, they didn't need his money because they print the money. The 13 banks that run the Federal Reserve banks are headed by rich Jewish families. The 13 software packages that change paper currency into digital money are all owned by the same 13 families. Everybody that uses the bank has to use their software. So he sends them $500,000 that could have been used to start a black grocery store or, you know, a community program for the children or anything, you know. But and that wasn't enough. Now they want him to go meet with the Anti-Defamation League, put him on timeout, and then have him go sit like a third grader, sit in the back of the class and meet with the teacher. So, I mean, they've done that. They did that to Nick Cannon. They did it to Whoopi Goldberg. They did it to a bunch of folks. You know, if you're not going to be a Sambo, as you call folks, if you want to stand up. But if you're taking their money, if you're under their contract, if you're owned by the NBA or owned by the NFL or owned by the soccer league or owned by any of the baseball, American League or the National, if you're owned by these people, that's what they call them. They call them owners. They don't call them managers. They don't call them employers. They call them owners. You know, the person owns the team. He owns you. That's nothing but modern-day economic slavery. And as the founder of the economic rights movement, I talk about that all the time. You got modern-day economic slaves. Some of them are millionaires playing on these ball teams, entertainers, you know, or in Hollywood, which is owned by the one percenters primarily. The people that were making the clothes back in the day, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer and all those cats, they the ones who started Hollywood. And, you know, you had Dave Chappelle on Saturday Night Live last night. He got away with a lot of stuff, but he read a disclaimer first. He said, you never put two words together in the American lexicon, and those two words are the, and the other word is Jews. You never say the Jews. And, you know, we are they got on Kanye West. He lost $1.5 billion in one day when the company Adidas canceled all of his sponsorship. Well, Adidas was started by German Nazis in the first place. Mm-hmm. And basically what people don't understand is that the people that run the nation of Israel, these people, most of them are proselytes. They learned the Jewish religion from our people 1,000 years ago, and they have been proselytized. But basically, they're just Germans. They're German people. They're white people. They're Europeans. They're not the original descendants. Abraham looked like you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah looked like my wife. She was fair, light complexion, but she was still an African, you know. So, you know, last time I checked, Abraham came from Chaldea, a city called Ur. Well, that's black folks' land, black folks' territory. Last time I read my Bible, it was there. Now, maybe they done changed it since I read it, but I don't think so. Abraham and Sarah went down into Egypt, down into Kemet. And that's where he got his wealth from. Well, if you start looking at that, you're talking about all black folks. You know, the Hebrews, the Negroes piece was really light because they talk about being Semitic, coming from Shem, you know, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, descendants of Noah. Well, if you really understand that, the whole tribe, they talk about one person, but the whole tribe of Noah was a black tribe. Wasn't nothing but black people on the planet at the time. So Shem, Ham, and Japheth was all black. They try to say Noah had one white white son, one black son, and one red son. Well, how is that possible? But we won't get into the making of races, the making of ethnic groups, I should call it. There's only one race, the human race. But, you know, you read chapter 11 about the Tower of Babel, where the Most High changed people and scattered us all over the planet. Well, the Most High made all these different ethnic groups. And the Europeans come out of the Caucasus Mountains and decided they're going to take over everything, and they've done a pretty good job of it. But we let them do it. We helped them to do it. And we still help them by being disunified. So I'm looking at what's going on today. You know, Kyrie Irving has backtracked, apologized, said he was sorry, gave $500,000 to people that didn't need it. You know, but that's basically to try and destroy the quote-unquote black male, alpha male image. You know, you can't stand up as a black man in America. They don't want that. If you're Malcolm X, they're going to get you killed. If you're Martin Luther King, they're going to get you killed. If you're Marcus Garvey, they're going to get you exiled outside the country. You know, but, you know, that's basically what's happening. It would have been good if Kyrie and Kanye could have got together. Well, Kanye's kind of bipolar half the time anyway. But it would have been good if they could have got together and talked to somebody like you and me or Dr. Khalid Muhammad or somebody, talk to somebody that knows something. They could have been a Frederick Douglass and a Delaney. They could have been a Marcus Mosiah Garvey and they could have been a Elijah Muhammad or somebody. They could have done something. But, you know, they basically don't. I don't think they have the understanding how to get together and to do that. They don't understand the historical significance and the power that they have. See, because not only do they have money, but they're public figures. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said a long time ago, that's what the rich white people are afraid of. They're afraid of the marriage of money and knowledge. They don't care if you've got knowledge. They don't care if you got a bunch of knowledge and you know what we know, but if you got money and knowledge, that's what they're afraid of.
Absolutely.
So basically, Reverend Pinckney, that was on my mind. That's been on my heart, thinking about how they have castrated Kyrie. They castrated the brother. You know, they cut his nuts off.
Here's something. What they did to Kyrie and Kanan was that they declared a bloodless war on them. They showed you as a you know, you steal the N word. That's what they told them. You try to step out on me, I'm gonna spank your butt. And they then what they do, they ganged up on him. They ganged up on them too. They went from one angle to another. And this killed every single black priest. And black people, like, look, some of, we do have some tough black folks, but a lot of black people got coward in them, especially these athletes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Look, Charles Barkley, I would never listen to him, nothing he say ever again. Him and Shaq,
yep.
I wouldn't.
Yep.
Did they? You know what? Kenny the Jet said something very profound. He told them he can understand where Kyrie was coming from. He said,
right.
But in the wrong venue. He said, but what is the right venue? You know?
Right.
So I got a lot
well,
of respect.
Well, see, those guys that are on the payroll, Shaq and Barkley, they as Malcolm would say, they're the good house Negroes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Malcolm talked about the house Negro and the field Negro. And it's still
yeah.
that way today. And it's just the song has ended, but the melody lingers on. And there's nothing that you could tell me, you know, as big and black as Shaq is. See, he takes and talking about the Sambo of the Year award. Man, we should mail him a special package. So
absolutely,
you know,
I
the
wish
whole idea,
that somebody could nominate Shaq and Barkley for the Sambo of the Year award. And
on a national level.
Right, on a
yeah.
national level, they can
but, you know,
nominate them.
But when Breonna Taylor was killed, they didn't say nothing. When
mm-hmm.
George Floyd was killed, Shaq and Barkley didn't say nothing. You see? When Eric Garner
yeah.
was killed or Tamir Rice was killed, they didn't. Trayvon Martin was killed, Shaq and Barkley didn't say nothing, did they?
No, didn't say a mumbling word.
You see?
Yeah.
So you see how the white, rich white slave masters of today use black people. That's what they do. You know, they done sick them. They done sick them on. Now notice another thing, too. Amazon is still selling the book and the video, Hebrews to Negroes. Well, they didn't ask them for no apology.
No, they didn't ask them for no apology.
What's the guy that owns Amazon? What's the guy that owns Amazon? I can't think of his name off the top of my head. Bezos. Bezos, I think his name is.
Right, that's who it is. Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's like the third richest man in the world. They didn't tell him to stop selling the book.
Or close
see?
His bank account or anything.
Right. But they're going to jump on Ye, and they're going to jump on Kyrie Irving. For talking, for saying that they are Hebrew Israelites. Well, we are Hebrew Israelites. We're the first Hebrews. We're the first Arabs. We're the first Africans. We're the first people on the planet, all the tribes. So, I mean, if you want to just break it down and get right to it, you know, all colors come out of black, regardless of what shade of pigmentation you are. The original folks was black like the midnight. So, you know, people just, they got some strange, they don't like the truth. They don't want the truth taught in their schools. They took and banning books in Florida, burning books up like the talk about Hitler and the Nazis. You know, they banning books. Well, how are you going to ban a book that tells the truth? You know, they even
yeah.
banned math books, you know? So, you know.
And Mr. Shea, see, none of this stuff surprised me at all because, see,
right.
one of the things, they never want the playing field to be level for black folk. And then sometimes
no.
black people be helping them, and like a Shaq and a Barkley
mm-hmm.
and white folks love them too because they know that they're going to talk
oh,
about
yeah.
black folk. They're gonna say something derogatory about a black person or what Barkley said something about Breonna that they should have let the police in or something something crazy
right,
he
right,
said
right.
he's been saying crazy stuff all along. But here's another thing I want to hit on before I let you go. Let's talk about reparations because
reparations thing is this. Look, reparations. I got a reparations list, but, you know, at the top of my list is land and repatriation. That's at the top of my list. Then education, like They talk about the critical race theory. Well, critical race theory is nothing but telling the truth. They don't want critical race theory taught in the public schools. So on my reparations list, I got land at the top. I got education second. I got a whole list. Money is at the bottom. I put money at the bottom of the list because money, if they gave you millions of dollars of money, they would have it back in a few days because these Negroes would turn around and give it back to them.
Absolutely.
So on my reparations list, when I talk about reparations, when I go to the United Nations, I talk about reparations and repatriations. Repatriation means that you get some land. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to talk about getting three states in the Midwest, getting land. The people in Louisiana talk about the land that their ancestral lands in Louisiana. The people in Georgia, I got ancestral lands in Georgia. The people got ancestral lands in Africa, all across the African diaspora, in Israel. When I talk about reparations, the first thing I'm talking about is getting our land back. And then after that, I'm talking about education. You know, let's get a way to educate all of our children with the truth. Let's build up these historic black colleges and universities. I got a letter out to Jackson State University right now in Mississippi, and I tried to get to Deion Sanders to say, look, let's get education, free education for all of the black children, all of the brown children, all of the red children. Let's get free education, and let's make the big corporations and all these big colleges that stole our land-grant colleges, let's make them pay for it. So land, education are my top two things. Money is at the bottom. Yes, we do need some money. We do need some cash. But, see, they can manipulate that cash. So
yeah.
I put land first, then I put education second. Then after my whole list, I put money last. But we do need our reparations. But as you so rightfully said, that's something we have to take. We can't beg them for reparations.
No,
we gotta take our reparations. We gotta boycott. We gotta organize. We gotta make them understand that they've got to capitulate to our demands. Frederick Douglass said, "Power yields nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never will." So that's what we gotta understand, Reverend Pinckney.
Amen, amen. And there's one last thing I'd like for you to hit on is. All these drive-by shootings, killing these six, mm-hmm. seven, 8 kids, and they even shot a baby in a stroller. I mean,
oh yeah, they've been doing that.
That's not us though.
I
know that's the work of the devil, but that's not us. We don't. We always women and children. We always, you know, put our arms around them. Now they don't care nothing. They call them women bitches and holes and all this stuff.
Reverend Pinckney, what you got to understand is that the hip-hop music industry has been taken over by the rich white 1% group. The white, rich white folks, the rich white Jews, the rich white Anglo-Saxons, they own hip-hop. They're the ones who bought all the companies up. And what they've done, they've made these rappers talk that kind of filthy language and get that whole nonsense and people out there trying to emulate. I can remember, look, let me take you back a little bit when the movie Shaft came out. Everybody was wearing afros. They were proud of Shaft and all that stuff. He beat up the white mob and all that, right? So what did Hollywood do? What did Hollywood give you next after Shaft? They gave you Superfly. Superfly straightened his hair. He was on drugs. He sleep with white women all the time, you know. So, you see, so then next thing you know, everybody had got cut their afros off and got California curls, you know.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Everybody.
Absolutely.
So that's what Hollywood does because, see, they understand the culture. And what they've done is they've demasculated the black man. You know, they demasculated us. And then not only do they demasculate us, but then they infiltrated our minds with hatred of each other. Then they put the drugs in the community And that's why the drive-by shootings are happening, because they're fighting over drug money and territory.
Yeah.
Same way they've done Mexico. Well, first of all, ain't no black folks in Benton Harbor or Columbus, Ohio. We ain't got no airplanes or no ships to bring no drugs, no cocaine, and no heroin into the country. Do you see? We ain't got no warehouses to store it in. Okay? We don't make no AK-47s, no M-16s, no M-15s. We ain't got no, we don't manufacture no guns. We don't even manufacture a pistol. We don't even make not one bullet. But yet, how did all that stuff get in the black community? Well, they put it in here. It's just like the movie The Godfather. The Godfather said, well, we'll do drugs now, but we're going to keep the drugs amongst the blacks because they animals anyway.
Right.
So all that stuff has been put on us by the larger society and by the rich Anglo-Saxons, the rich white Jews, the rich white Anglo-Saxons, and others. All these rich folks have pumped all this stuff in our communities to keep our brains messed up, and it's a spiritual battle. The Bible says we fight not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in high places. People don't understand this is a spiritual war that's going on inside of our minds. The battle's not just for our minds, but for our souls. So,
absolutely.
You know, the drive-by shootings, they've turned these young black men into animals. They've turned them into brutes. All they want is some drugs, some money, and some sex. And that's what they've got on their minds, because that's what Hollywood and the culture has given them. And some of us have been in the churches and other places, the real churches, not the fake ones, and we've been trying to change that over the years. But we're fighting an uphill battle because we don't have TV stations, radio stations no more. You know, everything, the media is controlled by the rich people, and they pump all the stuff into our children. Oh, they're teaching the girls to put these wigs, to buy straight hair, to twerk, to dance, you know. But what about teaching them engineering and education? What about teaching them mathematics and science? Well, that's a whole other conversation there. But all of this has been pumped into the community, and they make us hate ourselves, and then because of that self-hatred, we kill each other. And that's basically what they want. And then they put that on the press. Well, look at these black people. They are animals. Well, you made us into animals.
Absolutely. And that's what I'm saying today. But, you know, we got to figure out a way how to neutralize this stuff. And one I think we need to start calling a spade a spade. You out here doing a drive-by shooting, that's a cowardly act. You out here
killing babies.
You're in a stroller. What did the baby in the stroller do to you? What did it do? What did the little 4-year-old boy do to you? What did the 5-year-old girl you shot and killed do to you that you had to kill her too? Oh, you were trying to get this one guy and you killed 8 other people. And that's a cowardly act. And we need to start calling these people who they are. They're nothing but a bunch of cowards. You know,
It's just as you said, Reverend Payne. When you was in the prison, you call. When I was in the prison, I'd call them out. You know, I was in prison in Michigan on a false charge, just like you was.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting in there looking at all these young guys talking about the people that they done killed and all this stuff. And I said, all that drugs. I said, well, when you had all that money, did you buy yourself a house? No.
Mm-hmm.
When you had all that money, did you help anybody in the community? No. All that shooting you did the people that you shot at, did they have guns to shoot back? No. Well, then you a coward. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the same thing. Once they set up in the prison, they locked up some of them. A lot of them still out here in the streets running around. But these people are cowards because all they've done is let the rich white media and television and radio and movies influence their minds. And the drugs influence their mind, tear their brains up, and they think running around here with guns, shooting people, that's the lifestyle they're supposed to live. They think that's the only thing they can do.
That's the gangster lifestyle. You see, ain't no gangster being a coward, young man. You know, if you got a shootout with somebody, have a shootout with them. Don't bring little babies in a stroller, little 4 or 5-year-old kids into this scenario. You don't need to do that. Stand up and be a man and have a shootout. I don't. That's a, between you and that person. Y'all want to have a shootout. I don't want you to, but if that's what you want to do, don't go around here killing innocent people who has nothing to do with what you're mad about.
Well, see, that's that cowardly spirit. Once again, Reverend, we fight not against flesh and blood. And we have to call these people out because the Bible says, mark those among you that cause dissensions. Mark those among you. So we have to call these people out, call them out by name when they're doing these things. You know, we got a lot of young black, brown, and red brothers and sisters in college. They're trying to do the right things. We've got to focus on and encourage the ones that we can reach, because a lot of them we can't reach. We got to reach
the ones
we can reach and encourage them to keep on going and to do better, and we got to highlight them in the media. We got to highlight all these young black folks going to colleges, whether HBCUs or major colleges around the country. Highlight what they're doing. Talk about them. Show them when their graduation caps and gowns. We gotta highlight the positive and not focus on the negative, because the media focuses on the negative. There's one or two black folks doing drive-by shootings. That's what the media focuses on. They're not focusing on them 100 kids that just graduated from college. Do you see?
Absolutely.
So we've got to change the conversation, Reverend. And that's where I am down here in Columbus, Ohio, and going to the United Nations every year. I'm focusing on changing the conversation and trying to focus on the positive and help build the positive. Because those are, when the universe touches you, when God touches you and when God opens your third eye, there are several things you can't do. Once he opens your third eye, you can't close it.
Not only that, you
can't force anybody else's third eye to be open. Not only that, you can never go back to being the way that you were. So once your third eye is open, you've got to realize that.
Hey, I really appreciate you, my brother, but, you know, we got to figure out how we're going to work together and make this thing happen. There is no other way of doing this. And we got to make sure we're doing all the things that we need to do. I see you up there, Dr. Tan, but we don't have any more time left. Only thing I want to do, but I got you tomorrow, and I just want to make sure that Marcus Muhammad had won the Sample of the Year Award with 10,000. He got 10,475 votes. Ron Singleton, who I would thought would be the Sambo of the Year, but he's in second place, so he'd be, in case something happened to Mark and he gets sick, then Ron Singleton, Commissioner Ron Singleton, would take over and be the Sambo of the Year. He's followed by Dwayne Seats with also 10,000 votes, and then his mama, she also received 10,000 votes. And then we have Judge Mayfield. She had 10,015, and McGinnis had 10,007. So the Sambo of the Year, I want y'all to put it on y'all Facebook. Let everybody know that the mayor of Benton Harbor, Marcus Muhammad, is the Sambo of the Year, and he's going to get a plaque. And there won't be a dinner this year. I couldn't get Will Smith to come. There's too much going on, and I respect that, but he's going to come, and we're not going to delay it. We're just going to announce that Marcus, the mayor of Marcus Muhammad from the Nation of Islam, is the Sambo of the Year. And I appreciate all the people that voted. I mean, it was huge. When I say huge, I mean huge. I could never believe that this many people took the time out to vote for the Sambo of the Year, but every single city across the United States should have them a Sambo of the Year award. We have to call these Sambos out. They are destroying our children and our community, and we're allowing them to get away with it like it's okay. And remember this, when you know that someone is a Sambo, don't serve them. Whatever you do, don't serve them. We got to show them that we are not allowing these Sambos to take over and destroy the future of our children. And I need y'all help. I know you don't want to do nothing, but get out there and do something. And Annette, I will see you on the program tomorrow.
I will make sure that you're going to get some time so you can also comment on the sample of the year for us. And to the rest of y'all, I'm going to say tomorrow at 1 o'clock, same number, and we're going to continue this discussion. Have a very, very good night. Talk to you all soon.